can't see what lies ahead. I mean, sometimes there's fog on the, you know, how many's ever drove in fog or, you know, and just, you just can't see hardly at all. You don't know if there's a curve. You don't know if there's a car stopped. You know, you got to think of the writer of that song. When they were writing this, they had experienced maybe a train wreck or two. They may have experienced, you know, something that we might not even think about. But, you know, when you really get to think about the lyrics of a song and really begin to let it speak to you, I think a lot of times we just read the words off of the page out of repetition, and if we would begin to place ourselves in the position of that writer. You know, and it's like the different stories throughout the Bible. You know, a lot of times it's easy to read and we say, oh man, this is what happened. But if we really begin to place ourselves in the situation that they have experienced. You know, and here in the last year, I tell you, I've experienced some things that I never thought I would have experienced in my life. You know, I've known people that have experienced it, but until you've actually been through it, you know, you really don't know what it's like. Unless you are an individual that can place yourself, you have a great vision, you know, of placing yourself in that. And whenever I was growing up, when I was Titus's age, I used to grab a book and, man, I would be right there. We was on horseback, man, I was right there, Brother Matthew. If we was, you know, in a great battle, I was right there. We was climbing Mount Everest. I used to read books that had a lot of adventures, and a lot of them was about true stories. And I could place myself in those positions. But there are some things in life, you don't know what the outcome is going to be. You don't know how you will weather the storm. Paul, and I'm going to get to the preaching part here in a minute. Paul, whenever he was, Brother Cisneros preached about this last time he preached, when they were coming upon them rocks and the men of that ship wanted to jump out of the ship, the only reason he was able to tell them what they needed to do was because he had been visited by an angel. There are some things, some circumstances in life you're not going to know until you can get down, amen, in a position and in a place where you can hear and you can see something from God. I mean, there is a scripture that says, bear ye one another's burdens. Is that easy to do? A lot of times it's not, because you don't know where that person is at. Amen. I'm going to use Michael because I'm a little bit sore tonight. I mean, come here, Michael. Let me use you for just a second, buddy. You know, can you carry me around here? Try. Just stay right there for just a second. Paul, to bear one of those burdens, even though I was bigger than he was going to try and help me. Just lay across my shoulders. Lay across there, buddy. I'm bearing him. I'm carrying him. He's light. Amen. I would have chose Weston, but he would have squirmed a little more. Or London. One another's burdens. We might not be able to touch and begin to correct someone's soul, but we can begin to help them in the physical. Amen. The Lord laid this message on my heart a couple weeks ago, and I didn't know why before. I mean, what the purpose was. I mean, I know I've been through things, but the Lord brought this message to my heart, and I'm going to try and convey it to us the best I can in a short amount of time. But I'm going to start in 1 Peter chapter number 4 and 19. 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse number 19, when you have it, if you would stand. How many's ever seen the soul? How many's ever seen a heart? I know Sister Pepper has a real heart. I've seen a lot of real hearts, not a human. I want us to begin to think about the soul here for just a moment as I read this scripture. It says, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. What that's talking about there, the faithful Creator, the one that created all. He spoke the very life into existence. He breathed, amen, the breath of life that brought a living soul, amen, to life. We find that in Genesis. But right here, in the writer where he's talking, it says, according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing. You know, when we experience something, our hearts, our lives are tattered and torn. But there is only one thing that can be kept, amen, that can be kept from being damaged, that can be untouched, and that is the soul when we are willing to give it unto God. Whenever, amen, life begins to give you, amen, hard time and hardship, your life, your body can be scarred, but your soul is the only thing that can be kept pure. The only way that can happen is if we will commit it to God. Is it easy to do? No, it is not, because mankind wants to fix things themselves. Amen. It's like London. Bless her heart. She's my child. When something is coming apart, she wants to put it back together. And if it doesn't go back together, she gets frustrated. And sometimes she goes, ah! And she'll have it in her hand and she's frustrated. I'll have to come over there and explain to her. Be patient with it. Work with it. Sometimes she gets it right off. Sometimes she doesn't. Sometimes I have to show her how to do it. What is that? It's our temperament. A lot of times it's our temperament to try and fix the things that are broken. I heard this saying. I'm going to let you down here in just a minute after we pray. But a man and wife was having a spat. He came in the next day and said, hey, I want you to know I'm sorry for last night. She grabs the dish out of the counter and throws it down on the ground. And it breaks in a bunch of pieces. And she said, I'm sorry. She said, did the pieces go together? He said, no. She said, sometimes sorry doesn't fix things immediately. Sometimes we have to work through situations. A lot of times, we try just to put a Band-Aid on it when we got to have surgery. Amen. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer here. You all can be seated. Amen. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. God, we thank You for the opportunity, God, to share Your Word. I pray that You'd minister to our hearts and into our lives. God, begin to give us strength. Help us to realize, God, our position and our place in this life. Lord, help us to draw strength from You, God, because there are some things, God, that only You can help us through. I pray that You would begin to breathe life and strength into our hearts and in our lives here tonight. Strengthen our souls. In Your holy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Title of my message tonight is just three simple words. It is well. It is well. Lord spoke this to me a couple weeks ago, and when He spoke this to me, I was going through trying to recover from a struggle, trying to heal over some hardship, and I just began to really meditate on the Lord, and He just kept bringing that song. How many has ever heard that song, It Is Well With My Soul? Over and over again. And as I begin to prepare for this message, and I begin to read through 1 Peter, I got to chapter number 4 and verse number 19, and as it begin, as this writer, as he begins to stop and go to, amen, begin to finish out this writing here in chapter number 4. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, believing that God is going to bring the protection, that God is going to be the one that is able, amen, to hold, amen, that simple possession that we hold within ourselves that we can't pull out and give to anyone else but to Him.
As I began to think on this scripture and a story began to run through my mind over in 2 Kings chapter number 4 and verse number 18. It says, "And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out with his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And we had taken him and brought him to his mother. He sat on her knee till noon, and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him, and went out. And she called unto her husband, and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God, and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to the Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, he said to Gehazi, his servant, Behold, yonder is the Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say to her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? I want us to look at her response here. And she answered, It is well. I want to talk to us about this story here for just a moment before I go any further. Everything that was dear to her is lost. Everything that was dear to her husband was lost. How many's ever lost something? Lost your keys? Lost your wallet? I've lost my wallet one time. And it was lost for 3 months. It was lost. I lost it out riding the three-wheeler. I had no idea where I lost it at. I had traveled lots of miles that day. And by happen chance, Brother Matthew, 3 months later, we're by the trash barrel. Dad moved it from one place to another. And where he placed it, right beside it, was my wallet. We moved that trash barrel. Dad would move it from one place to another, just depending on what we need, what we had going. He moved it from one side of the property to the other because we was fixing to clean out a bunch of stuff, and he wanted to have that burn barrel right there. And it was a miracle, Sister Betty. I tell you, I gave up on it. I didn't even tell my mom and dad I lost it. It had my Social Security card in there and about $100. But I found it. It was a miracle. But I spent those 3 months, every day I would go out to the pasture, Mimi, you know what I would do? I would look for that brown wallet. I'd ride the fooler, see if I could see it. But after 3 months, rain, heat, rain, it was still right there. I grabbed it up. Hey, Dad, I found my wallet. He said to me, I didn't know you lost it. Sometimes we lose things. A lot of times when we lose something that is important to us, we want to find someone with a kindred spirit to share it with. But there are other times when we lose something that is so close to our heart that we find it hard to share it with anyone. Sometimes, even a hard time sharing it with God. Because it's something that we wanted. It's something that we had a desire for. It's something that we prayed for. I'm just trying to share my heart with you here tonight. That we get to a point where we don't want to share it. We don't want to talk about it. We began to not necessarily hold a grudge against God, but not communicate completely with him. This woman, she came to the point, she had already made up her mind she was going to see the man of God. But yet find, when she has the opportunity to declare her problem, because we find that the servant asked her, is it well with you? Well, your husband? Is it well, child? What was her response? She told the servant, it is well. Now we find in the next verse, verse number 27, and she came to the man of God to the heel, and she caught him by the feet. but Gehazi came near her and thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone. Her soul is vexed with her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. There comes a place and time where there is something inside of your soul that only God Himself can begin to work on. There isn't a help book that you can go buy at the store that's going to fix it. There's not an individual that you can go and see that can try and give you words of kindness. That's not going to fix it. Though I want to make a point here. Though there are times when those words of encouragement, those words of strength are needed, there isn't a time and a day you should try and keep those to yourself. If God plants that in your heart, you need to share it. Don't hold it up and say, I'll wait till that individual, you know, approaches me with the problem. If God speaks to you, we are called, and I quoted that scripture earlier, to bear one another's burdens. But we find that she grabs the man of God by his feet, and he realizes that there is something greater that's going on. Now we know how this story ends. We know that he sends the servant off with his staff to go lay it upon the child. And later on, amen, the man of God is there and he is brought back to life. A miracle has occurred. But I want to tell us, there are some times that individuals don't go running, amen, to where the man of God is. They don't go running, amen, to where, amen, the power of God is. Sometimes, amen, they sit alone by themselves, struggling with pain and anguish. And at that at those moments, it is important that we turn our soul over to God. We find here in Psalms chapter number 61 in verse number 1. This is David. He says, hear my prayer, O God. Attend unto my prayer. You know, this very first verse here, you know what this tells me? He's been crying out for a while. A lot of times when we start out with a prayer, we say, Lord, I pray you'd help in this situation. Then later, we come again. Lord, I really need you to hear me. And later on, we get even a little more plain. We stop putting in any extra fluff. We stop putting in any extra, you know you did this for me and you did that for me. We find that he's in a position, in a place where he says, hear my cry. He's in a place where he simply makes the statement, oh God, attend unto my prayer. This is something that I've brought before you time and time again. We find that he is weary. In verse number 2, he says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He doesn't say, carry me. He says, lead me. That speaks of a man that is completely out of options. He is blinded because of the pain and the situations that he's experienced. Come here, Titus. He says, to lead me. Take me by the hand. Take me to that place that is higher than I. Take me to your refuge. Thank you, buddy. Begin to lead me. So many times we want, amen, to be transplanted. We've got to experience, begin to see the place that this man is at. He says to lead me. I want you, Lord, to walk the path that I am upon. I want you to feel, amen, and begin to see the pain that I am in. I want to be able to feel the strength, amen, that is upon your, amen, that is in your hand. Begin to lead me to that position, to that place that is higher than I. Begin to take me into thy sanctuary. Begin to hide me in the cleft of the rock. Begin to prepare, amen, amen, a table, amen, to minister to my needs. We find down in the next chapter, in verse number, chapter 62, in verse number 5, it says, my soul waiteth thou upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge. It is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. When we get to a place where we are overwhelmed, lead me to that rock. Lead me to that refuge. What is it we find? I must decrease that thou must increase. We find Paul, he was actually Saul at this time, on his road, amen, his plan to drive out the Christians, to bring them to justice in his opinion, in his mind. We find him stricken by a blinding light, and he hears from God. You know, he could have went a different direction and been blind to his dying day. But instead, there was a man that heard from God. Said, hey, I want you to go pray for this old boy, Saul. You know, the persecutor of all Christians? This man could have packed his bag and went done the old Jonah thing. Hey, I'm headed to Tarsus. Because Saul represented the pain, the anguish that this man's brothers and sisters in Christ had experienced. We find that he gave in to the Lord and went over and he prayed for Saul, and Saul became Paul. As Paul goes through life, he lost his reputation as being in the high position that he was in. Some of the very men that may have looked up to him and thought of him as a leader now chunked a rock at him and left him for dead. The family that he had turned their back upon him. The only thing he had was his life and his tent business. I mean, really. I seen a sign today on the way home. And it struck a funny bone in me, I guess you could say. But it was on the side of this van, big, bold, blue letters on this white van. It says, "Jesus was homeless." That's all it said on it. And I looked at the backside of it, and there was an address, and it was a food pantry. They had a homeless ministry. But you know, whenever I thought about that, you know, you really start thinking about it. Jesus Christ was home while he was a child. He had a roof over his head. But after he started his ministry, he didn't have a home. He stayed with other individuals when they offered him. You know, we find that Lazarus was a dear friend of his. He stayed with them quite often. You can tell because of how close they were. But, you know, I begin to think about this. Saul, everywhere he went, he didn't have a place necessarily to lay his head. He was always hiding. His heart had to have been hurt. He would see some family members. But what we find is that he gave his soul unto God. He said, even though I be stoned and left for dead, even though I'm fixing to be executed, what do we find that he does? He runs toward the place of execution because he already knew where his soul was. It belonged to God. Amen. As I begin to, amen, prepare for this, I begin to realize the situations that I experienced last year. We lost, amen, my grandfather, amen, a young boy that went to our school. And then as things began to progress, and as I was headed home this afternoon, I got a phone call, amen, about one of my family members that has a high chance of having a brain tumor. And as my world, Brother Larry, continues to rock, I have to take my soul and place it in the hand of the Father. My heart might be scarred. My life might, amen, know the places where I have been injured. But I know whom I have believed in. Even though, Brother Jason, life has been lost, my soul belongs to him. Even though, and I have been tried, it seems like things that I never would have thought of in a million years has been brought before me. And I walked away and I'm like, what in the world? Why does the devil think he even has a chance at offering that to me? But he does. Because he sees, Brother Larry, the physical hurt that I've experienced. He sees heartache, Brother Shelton, that I've experienced. Trying to play on those things. And as I begin to think of those things and what has happened, I begin to think of this song, "It Is Well." It is well with my soul. Even though my heart may ache, even though the tears may fall, it is well. It is well with my soul. We find in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 45, Jesus Christ stating these words. He said, "That ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." Good things happen. And so do bad things. Bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people. We can't control it. The only thing that we can do is surrender our souls to Him. Horatio G. Spafford was a successful lawyer and businessman in Chicago with a lovely family, a wife Anna, and five children. However, they were not strangers to tears and tragedy. Their young son died in 1871. And in that same year, much of their business was lost in the great Chicago fire. Yet God in His mercy and kindness allowed the businesses to flourish. On November 21st, 1873, a French ocean liner was crossing the Atlantic from the U.S. to Europe with 313 passengers on board. Among the passengers was going to be Mrs. Spafford and their four children. Although Mr. Spafford had planned to go with his family, he found it necessary to stay in Chicago to help solve an unexpected business problem. He told his wife he would join her and their children in Europe a few days later. His plan was to take another ship. About 4 days into the crossing of the Atlantic, the French ocean liner collided with a powerful iron-hulled Scottish ship, and suddenly all of those on board was in grave danger. Anna hurriedly brought her four children to the deck. She knelt with her four daughters and began to pray that God would spare them and all those that was upon this ship, if it could be His will, or to make them willing to endure whatever awaited them. Within approximately 12 minutes, the French ocean liner slipped beneath the dark waters of the Atlantic, carrying 226 souls to their death. Among these were the four Spafford children. A sailor rowing a small boat over the spot where the ship went down spotted a woman floating on a piece of wreckage. And it was Anna, still alive. He pulled her into the boat and was picked up by another large vessel. 9 days later, she wired her husband a message which began, "Saved alone. What shall I do?" Mr. Spafford later framed this telegram in a place in his office. Mr. Spafford booked a passage on the next available ship and left to join his grieving wife. With the ship about 4 days out, the captain called to Mr. Spafford to his cabin and told him that they were over the place where his four children had went down. According to Bertha Spafford Vester, a daughter born after the tragedy, Spafford wrote this song, "It is well with my soul. When peace like a river attaineth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet through trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed His own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh my bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole. It is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well with my soul." Philippians 4 and verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The only way He's able to keep our heart, the only way He's able to keep our mind, is if we have surrendered our soul to God. Whenever life begins to beat against you, friend, when it seems like nothing can go right, when it seems like there is nothing but heartache at every turn, we've got to begin to cast our hope towards heaven, when it is so much easier to cast our hope down on the ground and step upon it. Say, "There is no hope there is no joy. I want us to realize something here tonight. I'm fixing to close. The darkest moments are just before dawn. When life doesn't give you any light, any hope, any desire for life to change, we've got to cast our hope into the, amen, into the rock, Jesus Christ. We can find, as David, when he went through life, we find that he loses a child shortly after birth. We find as he goes throughout life that he has a son that turns his back upon his father. Absalom, we find as he goes and tries to gain control of the kingdom. And as he is killed out there running away from one of David's men. We find that David, after he heard these words, he said, "Absalom, Absalom." His heart was grieved. I was talking to an individual here not too long ago when he was talking about that story. And what David, they said in the original, they had studied out and found some different writings and stuff of where where they documented where David was talking about. He said, where he said, "Absalom, Absalom, my son." He said it was actually him making a statement saying that he was sorry. He was so sorrowful. He was heartbroken because he felt somehow that the sin of his youth had brought this upon his son Absalom. A lot of times things happen in our lives that we don't understand. Still to this day, I don't understand, Sister Kathy, why things have happened the way they have happened. All I can do, Pastor, is look towards heaven and just wait on those clouds to part to see those that I have lost waiting on me to join them. We have that hope because we take our souls and we place it in His hands. And we can make that statement. It is well. It might not be well with my heart. It might not be well in my mind. It may not be well in my body. But it is well. It is well in my soul. When the sea billows roll, when Satan begins to tempt me, when he tries to draw me down, as he begins to bring things before my mind, all I can say, it is well with my soul. As I've had to prepare this message, I've had to prepare myself with situations. That haven't been easy. But I found strength. Amen. And peace, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. No matter what you're going through, friend, no matter what the struggle or the trial may be, I want us to realize that God is with us every moment and every step. We find that Jesus Christ, as He's up on the cross, that He made this statement. He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And with that, I give you encouragement, and I pray strength, because He has been right where we are at. He knows. The Father had to turn His back so that Jesus Christ could die and take away our sins. But because of that moment, we have, amen, that great intercessor. Amen, that is going before us and saying, look at the situation. Look at the pain. And He can send down an angel to bring comfort. Amen. Church, if we would stand. Amen. We have those in our family, church, that is hurting. It is up to us to carry their soul to heaven. Let me tell you something from experience. When you're in pain, when you're in turmoil, sometimes it's not easy to pray. That's the moments we've got to bear one another's burdens. Those are the opportunities that God has given us to carry it to Him. But it is up to us to grab a hold of the mantle and say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be the cross bearer. Jesus Christ, at His weakest point, had to have someone else carry His cross. Should we not do the same when we know that there are, amen, there are individuals that are at their weakest point, that we bear their cross. We carry it to the place so that they can be touched by Jesus Christ. Amen. I know this message may not be for you. I know it was for me. It wasn't easy for me to preach because I've had to realize, come face to face, Brother Jason, with some things that I've just got to give to Him. Those souls don't belong to me no more. I've got to submit them and give them to Him. Amen. I want us to come around these altars here tonight. Sister Pepper, you can play. You don't have to. It's just entirely up to you. Do what the Lord leads you to do. Let's come up.